Thank you for joining us for this week's message at Crosswind Church. If you have any questions about this message or about Crosswind Church, please visit us at www.crosswindchurch.net or you can email us at info@crosswindchurch.net.
Good morning, Crosswind Church. How's everybody doing this morning? It's good to see everybody here. My name is Garrett. For those of you who may not know, my name is Garrett Quinn, and I'm an owner here at Crosswind. And I am pumped up to be here this morning because Jeremy's going to do what we want to, right? Just kidding. For those of you who might be visiting or you may not know, Jeremy, our lead pastor, is currently on his way with a missions team to Honduras this morning. And they're going to be there all this week. So before we dive in this morning and get talking about what it is we're going to talk about and continue on with our series, can we just pray for them this morning? There's about 14 of them. Most of them are here from Crosswind Church, and there's a few other churches represented there. So before we get started this morning, can we just pray for them and lift them up? I don't know about you, but probably we all watch the news, and it's a dangerous and crazy world out there. So if we could just lift them up in prayer this morning, I know they would be appreciative of that. One thing I do want to also pray for, too, that I was told this morning that I wasn't aware of, Colton and Hannah Sensing are coming back from Kenya today, and they're beginning that process to come back. So I want to lift them up as well. Go ahead, give it up. They've been there all summer long. They've been there all summer long doing some incredible things, and so I can't wait for everybody to get back and talk about all the things that God has done. So if you would, join me in prayer this morning, and let's pray for all of these folks. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you're doing, not only in Union City, but around the world with Crosswind Church. And God, I just pray that this morning, wherever our teams are in the process of traveling, airlines, across these, wherever they are, God, you know you've got a control over it. And God, we just pray for safety, but Lord, we also pray that your work and will would be done. That God, may we never forsake our own safety and the things that we look over and we try to control, but God, we're not in control. And that you are. And Lord, I just pray for this team that is on their way to Honduras. I pray for the Sensings that are headed back, God, that you have done incredible things, not only this summer, but this week, God, would you just transform and do incredible things as our team is out and about and coming back and all the things that are going on with Crosswind Church. I love you, Lord, and I thank you for this morning. And I believe these things in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. I am a church kid. How many church people we got? Grew up in church, raised, there we go, that's what I'm talking about. I'm a church kid, and raised up in church for as long as I can remember. There was always Sunday morning church. As a kid, my mom would take me and my little brother to church, and dad would come every once in a while, you know, the Christmas, Easter, that kind of thing. And all of a sudden, as a child, I remember dad started coming more regularly. Well, then we started getting up earlier to come to church. And in the traditional church, right, you get up and go to Sunday school. So we had to go to these classes before you actually went to the actual church. So that cut into sleep time, right? Again, I'm a kid, so this is my mind thinking as a child. Well, then as my parents got more involved, after we would take our Sunday afternoon nap, we would go back to church. And then if you were really, really, really involved and loved Jesus, you would go back midway through the week and go on back to church on Wednesday night. Right? Like, you know what I'm talking about, the traditional church-style services, that's what you did. And as a kid, I remember VBSs and revivals and youth camps and kids camps and conferences, all these things that we did as a church kid. And I remember, man, we used to have pews. How many of you remember pews, right? Yeah. Then all of a sudden, we went to chairs. You couldn't lay out and stretch out a pew. Like, they gave you a singular seat, and that's where you had to stay. You couldn't move. Put your purse, put your Bible right there. That was fun. I remember we used to have these books inside of pews, and you would sing songs out of those books. Anybody remember those? Three people. Awesome. Great. We used to have these books, and you would sing songs out of them, right? And then all of a sudden came the overhead projector with the transparencies. That was fun. That was really fun because you had that one person. I was never this person. You might have been, depending on where you grew up. You had that person that had to flip the transparency out real quick. Like, you had the verse, you had the chorus, you had the verse two, you had the chorus again. Well, then the bridge of the song, and then maybe another line of the chorus, you had to flip the transparency real quick. That was real fun, right? So you had all that stuff. I remember the deep red carpet we had in our church. You did your foot one way and it was red. You did your foot the other way, it was like an orange color. I guess just growing up, those are the things I remember as a child. And I don't think a lot of times when you talk to people who grew up in church, like some people just automatically think like you know Jesus, like you have a relationship with Jesus. And I think growing up in church, that was an obstacle for me. Like I knew about Jesus. I knew where to go to in the Bible to read about Noah or David or Esther or whoever. I could flip there faster than any of y'all, and I'd be proud of it, and I'd tell you about it. Like, that's just how that I grew up. But as far as actually knowing Jesus and having a relationship with Jesus, that would come later on. It would come by summer before going into my senior year of high school. We went to a Ford conference. For those of you who are familiar with maybe Jensen Franklin and Free Chapel Church, they do a student conference every summer called Ford. And they would gather 10, 12,000 people in Atlanta, and it would just be an amazing weekend. It would be like a three-day conference. And I can tell you, Friday, it was a Friday, Friday the 13th, July 2007, I can take you just about to the place where I was sitting in that arena. I don't know if you've ever had one of those moments, whether it was maybe it was with God, maybe it was your spouse, your future spouse, like where you know that's where you were at that moment. And that Friday night, I mean, me and God just had a moment. And that's where my faith journey began. That's where my starting point began back in 2007. And some of you have already raised your hand and you've agreed that you were a church kid. And we're special, I know. But you've been here all your life. You've been serving. You've been doing the things that you've been taught and raised here. And praise God for that. Others in the room might have a different story. Some of you might have graduated high school, got into the workforce, military, and you left church. And you've come back. Maybe you brought your kids back to church. Maybe you brought your grandkids back to church. Maybe life has kind of happened and there's been a crisis that arose, marital problems, financial problems. Maybe your spouse made you come this morning. I don't know. I'm glad you're here. But whatever our story is, maybe this is the only church you've ever been a part of. And that's awesome. We love that. This is the norm. Live, loud music. I love it. Don't have to wear suits when you preach. It's awesome. Right? Like, this is the norm for you. And like I said, whatever your background, whatever your story is, we are glad you're here and we're honored that you're part of Crossman Church. And so this morning, you're kind of catching the tail end of this series we've been talking about all summer long, starting point. And today is part 7. Jeremy's going to be back next week to finish it up, tie it up. So again, if you're visiting, please come back next week. Be a part of this finale that we're going to have with this series. It's going to be really cool, and I want you guys to be back for it. But this morning, we're going to talk a whole lot about faith, just like we have pretty much all summer long. We've been asking the questions, you know, who is Jesus? What does our faith mean, not only to us, but to other people? What if we could restart our faith? What would that look like? And let me clarify before we go any further. I know growing up in church, for some of us like you and me, we know what the word faith is. We understand that. That doesn't scare us. But for some of you who has kind of pushed back away from church, for some of you who have not totally bought into this idea of Jesus and He is your Lord and He is your Savior kind of thing, the word faith is just a little too churchy for you. It's too Christianese, if I can make that up real quick. It's just a little too much. So today, when I use the words faith or I use the words belief or believe, please understand that I'm referring to all the same thing. Like, I don't want y'all emailing Jeremy, like, all out in Honduras, and he's like, man, this guy was saying faith, and I thought it meant this, and then he's saying belief, and it meant this. Like, I want everybody on the same page. I don't want nobody to email Jeremy. And if you do, his email is garrettquinn@gmail.com. I'll pass that on for him. So again, this morning, we talk a whole lot about faith in this series. We talk about a whole lot in church. Like, faith, the size of a mustard seed, we've probably heard that verse or a lot. We've probably heard Hebrews 11 is kind of the faith chapter in the book of Hebrews where it talks about faith, the confidence, and the assurance. We know that faith is talked about a lot. Jeremy talked about faith last week. Ephesians 2:8, that we are saved by grace through faith. So again, if you're that person that's kind of like, I don't really like the whole word faith and don't really understand, I'm going to use a couple words today that basically mean the same thing. Because we can be honest here today that to have faith is basically to believe. And to believe is to basically have faith. So I want to make sure everybody's on the same page with this. Andy Stanley has a really cool quote, and I'm going to ask him to throw it up on screen so that way I don't mess it up, about faith. And especially those who may or may not, whether you've been in church or not. He says faith is the most confused, misused, and abused concept in religion. And like I said, whether or not you agree with that statement or not, I know some people might just kind of push back on the word faith this morning, so I'm going to use belief a whole lot too, but I want you to understand that basically means the same thing. So let's talk this morning real quickly. The main idea, I want to go ahead and give that to you this morning as we talk, and just make sure everybody's on the same page with it. The main idea I want to talk about this morning is this, that the ability to believe is the most powerful force at mankind's disposal. And as we talk about this morning, here's kind of where I'm going. Everything that has been accomplished by mankind, whether it's been good, whether it's been bad, is because somebody believed that it could happen or it should happen. What happened is we have a belief, and we begin having ideas about that belief, and then they begin turning into words, so people get talking about things. Right? And whether or not it's to better our lives, or if it's a bad thing, like a conflict. For example, how many of you have used a letter? You have written a letter to say someone that you are in usual contact with. That's something that's very old school, wouldn't we say? How many of you have used a telegraph here lately? How many of you not know what a telegraph is? Anybody? Okay, got one right here. Be honest. I love it. So, as things kind of progressed and we've kind of evolved, we've gone from different ways of communication. How many of you have a landline phone in your home that you cannot leave without, right? How many of you have a landline phone? Anybody? Got a few landline phones? Love it. Landline phones turned into cell phones, right? We're taking them everywhere we go. Love it. But all of a sudden, now we can't call. We text. Now we can do other things besides text. We can video call. We can FaceTime. We can Skype. We can send a message. We can post. We can tweet. We can snap. We can do all kinds of ways of communication. And so, as we've grown, as we've evolved, what some would say, we would probably better our lives, better our way of communicating. This pattern of ideas and beliefs and all of these things has kind of, it's not a new thing. It's something that we've done for a while now. Now, real quickly, not only am I a church kid, I'm a history nerd, so let me geek out for just a quick second, all right? And I'm going to show you how this pattern, don't roll your eyes at me. I see you people, stop that. That's not cool, all right? Let me geek out for a real quick second. Look at this pattern. In the 1700s, our forefathers and 13 of our colonies got sick and tired of being taxed without being represented inside the British government, right? Taxation without representation, don't tread on me, give me liberty, give me life. Anybody, is it ringing any kind of bells at all? Anybody just shake your head yes? Awesome, I love it. Okay. So what happened? Our forefathers had these beliefs. They believed a certain way. They believed these things. They turned into ideas. They began talking. Other people got talking. Everybody got talking. We believed this way. Then people over there didn't believe that way. And they were coming into this real big conflict. Let's move into the next century. We're supposed to be united. Of course, we've got one group of people, not to point fingers, but in the South, who believe a certain way, who's going to do a certain thing. But we got people on this side of the equation, who we'll just say is from the North. They believe a certain way, and they're going to do a certain thing. Well, then this group says, well, we'll just leave, and we'll do our own thing. Well, then this group says, no, you can't do your own thing, because you can't believe that way. You can't have those ideas. Well, this group says, well, I'm going to get a gun. Well, this group says, I'm going to get a gun, too. Big conflict, right? Let's go ahead into the next century. The United States is pulled into a world war that a German dictator just talked about. Adolf Hitler did not start just shooting everybody and cause a world war. What he did, he had a belief that Germany was treating her fairly. He had an idea, and he began talking, and other people got on board with him. And all of a sudden, then you have beliefs that turned into ideas. This is the power of belief. It can be very, very powerful. It can be very, very dangerous. And so that's why this morning we're going to be kind of throwing around this idea of that at our disposal, this ability to believe is the most powerful thing at our disposal. Belief can be used not only in past, but in present. And we look for this, don't we? We look for this in all kind of evidence in our lives. I'm an Apple fan. Like, I like Apple product. I love Apple products. Let me back up. And I constantly look for things that promote Apple over other phones or other devices, just because I'm a huge fan. Right? So, like, if you have a Samsung or you're a Google person, or for some of you, you got that flip phone, Anybody? Go ahead. That's what I'm talking about. Love those people. Love those people. So I'm not pointing you out. I'm just saying there are things that I look for. And I remember a couple years ago when Samsung phones were like blowing up in people's pockets. Anybody remember that? Like, oh boy, I shared that on Facebook. I make sure I retweeted that on Twitter. I made sure everybody knew. I didn't care for them. Apple was the way to go. Guys, I know there are people out there. There's probably some in our parking lot. We have Nissan trucks. We have Toyota trucks. We have all kinds of trucks. But let's just be real for a second. The real truck battle is between Ford and Chevrolet. I'm just saying, okay? And when you, if you're a Ford person, listen, if you're a Ford person and you see a Chevy broke down on the road, do you not stop, take a picture, and send it to your other friend who completely loves Chevrolet. You see a meme on Facebook with a Ford broken down and a Chevrolet towing it out of the field and stuck somewhere, you will share that all day long and tag your friends. Don't lie, you know you do. Right? We look for evidence that support our beliefs. We do this all the time. I could get political and say this also goes to how you watch news channels, but I'm not gonna go there and do that because I'm guilty of that as well. Belief can be shared within our community. Our closest friends, our closest coworkers, more than likely, it's very easy to maintain this shared belief in community. Because again, these friends, these coworkers of ours, we probably connect to them very well because we have the same set of beliefs. Now, it doesn't mean it's always the case. It doesn't. Because how many of you know, as a Tennessee Vols fan, I do have some friends that hate Jesus and love Alabama football, right? Like, I just have some friends like that. But we're good friends, but it's just not easy to maintain in those situations. So within that community, whether it's maybe it's a home group, like I said, maybe it's some coworkers and things like that. This is easily shared and maintained. And I say all of this about belief and try to set this talk up this morning about belief because God gave us this ability to believe. Like this isn't something, just some happenstance that popped up. God gave us this ability to believe. And by saying that, what we're saying is that we're going to give God the credit. If this is something that we have, the ability to believe, and we get to choose what and if we believe it, God gets the credit for that. As Creator God, God gets the credit for that. And when we transition from just talking about specific belief, let's talk about religious belief. In other words, faith. We give God the credit there. Because religious belief is basically belief that is connected to some kind of religious nature. Religious belief is based on the phrase, believe that. Look at your neighbor and say, believe that. Look at your other neighbor you don't like as much and say, believe that. That's what I thought. So, this morning we can look at other groups of faith. Let's start with Christianity. As Christians, we say this all the time, as Christians, we say, we believe that Jesus died for our sins. We believe that God loved us so much, He sent Jesus to die on the cross. We believe. Muslims probably say the same thing, right? Muslims believe a certain thing. Muslims believe that Jesus was a prophet. They also believe that he was not the Son of God. We can say that atheists believe that there is no divine being. There is no deity in this space that all of us call life. Agnostics, I love agnostic people, they're so honest. Agnostic people believe that they don't know what they believe. But they believe it. But they don't know what they believe. Right? So, what is the big deal with Christianity? Why should I have a starting point in your faith, Garrett? What is the big deal about Christianity to where that's what I should believe? Why that? We're going to look at that this morning. When Jesus died, those closest to him believed that he was dead. Simple statement. I'm going to throw it up on the screen because I want that to kind of sink in. When Jesus died, those closest to him believed that he was dead. Now, we understand this because the Gospels record this, right? Specifically in John 20, the Gospels record this, that the disciples were in fear of their life, they were scared, they truly believed that Jesus was dead and that what the Roman Empire, the Roman guards had done to Jesus might come and do them. So they were a little freaked out. A little scared, in hiding, doing all this. So they truly believed that he was dead. It was over. And we know this. We know this not by only where they are, but where they aren't. They're in hiding. They're in fear of their lives. Where they are not hanging out at the tomb waiting on the third day. Like, that's a big deal. We know from these Gospels, from these stories, that if truly the disciples believed that Jesus was just on hiatus for a couple days, he was going to be back, they'd be camping out at the tomb. Like today, we would be all over that on Facebook Live. We would be doing that. There would be Black Friday, like mass crowds hanging out, celebrating. Third day's coming, right? We talk about this around Easter. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. You got to understand, in this time period, there was no Sunday. There was no coming back. They truly believed that he was dead. I'm an Apple guy. I already told you this. But last year, whenever Apple released the new iPhone X, like everybody got all excited about it. I got reading an article here recently that a guy in Sydney, Australia, after the launch, like after the Apple event when they said, hey, we're going to release it September, whatever day it was, like he was like, okay, I'm going to go get one. But not only am I going to go get one, I'm going to be the first one in Sydney, Australia to have one. I don't know if that was some kind of like, again, he probably nerded out too. He waited 10 days to get an iPhone X. Now, I don't know about you, but I have never camped out 10 days, period. Let alone waiting on some kind of device to be the first one, right? Like, and this article, like, it's really specific about, like, he had friends. First off, there's a compliment. He has some friends that hung out with him. Like if he needed to go to the bathroom, like he didn't have like something that he would go. Like he would actually go to the bathroom and somebody would save his spot. Like that's a big deal. Like when you know something amazing, something good, something exciting, something life changing is going to happen, you show up. So you would think if these disciples understood what Jesus had said for 3 years, teaching God's word in parables, proclaiming that he is the Christ, he is the Messiah. If they truly understood that, they would be hanging out at the disciples. I think about the crosses and Oreo cookies. Like, man, when there's a new Oreo cookie coming out, right? Like, they get excited about it and they put it on Facebook Live. Like, they show up, right? They absolutely show up. But the disciples didn't do this. They didn't show up. They truly believed that he was dead. It's interesting if you look at other types of religious faith. You see, once that founder, if it's a specific one person, you'll notice after that person dies, the followers, the disciples of that certain faith, they gather the teaching and they begin to distribute it. And they begin to evangelize this new faith. But we don't see that with the disciples. We don't see that at all. We see them in hiding. We see them locked away in fear. We do not see them at the temple, or excuse me, the tomb. So what happened? Because if you keep reading on past John 20 and you get into Acts, all of a sudden you see these same disciples begin to preach Jesus. And they begin to preach Jesus with boldness. They begin to preach Jesus with authority. So in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, Peter gets up and he begins preaching. Peter, same guy that denied Christ, denied he was betrayed, he begins preaching. 3,000 people, right then and there, commit their lives to Christ. They admit it, right? What happened? What happened from the time that Jesus died and they were freaking out, and 50 days later on the day of Pentecost, we've got these people who are declaring with boldness and authority that Jesus is alive and well. What happened was the resurrection. Like, you and I know that. Like, that's not something that surprises you. We know that. The world knows that. Some people accept it. We accept it. We know that Jesus didn't stay dead. Right? So, in understanding that after seeing Jesus alive, once that single event in the disciples' eyes, that changed their unbelief to belief. They put their faith at that moment in Christ Jesus. Let's pick up the story in Acts. Because in Acts 2, we see this happen on the day of Pentecost and the disciples getting preached. Acts 3, we see where Peter and John go up to the temple and they heal a guy on Sunday, freaks all the religious people out, and they get all mad and they bring him in front of the Sanhedrin court, probably the same court that Jesus was brought in front of. Let's pick up this story in Acts 4. Acts 4 in verse 8. Let's pick up there. Again, Peter and John are in front of the Sanhedrin court, and let's see what happens in this story. Because remember, these are the same people. We are in the same place. All this stuff about Jesus happened. It's not in some far off land. This isn't somewhere where nobody knows. Everybody knows the name of Jesus. They know what happened to Jesus. They know what the Jewish people did to Jesus. They know what the Roman guards did to Jesus. They know where Jesus was placed. And now all of a sudden his followers are preaching that Jesus is alive. They've just healed the guy on the outside of the temple on a Sunday. So let's pick it up in verse 8. Chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you have crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is, quote, the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone," end quote. Verse 12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." If you need a verse this morning to memorize or tweet or post, that's a good one. Verse 13, "When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men that were astonished. They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus." Let's pause just for a quick second. Notice what they said. What an amazing comment about ordinary people. What if our friends, our family members, our co-workers, the people that we talk to through our everyday week looked at us this way and made this comment? And they're ordinary, they're regular people, just like you and me, but there's something different about them. I don't know if it's the church they go to. I don't know if it's the version of the Bible that they're reading. I don't know what is going on in their life. But those people know Jesus. Those people love Jesus. And those people act, walk, and talk like Jesus. I would love for people to say that stuff about me. I would love for people to say that about the people here at Crosswind Church. Let's keep going. Verse 14, "But since they could not..." Excuse me, "but since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then confer together. What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we can't deny it. But to stop this thing from..." I love that they say to stop this thing. Yeah. I love that. They're going to stop this thing, right? Like, they're going to stop it, right? They didn't understand what they were trying to stop. That the church was becoming a movement. That the resurrection of Christ had put some fire, had put some passion, had put some boldness and authority in the followers of Jesus. And all of a sudden, this thing is now spreading. This thing is a movement. This thing is the church. This thing, the church, is the only thing that Jesus said he would build. Out of all the organizations and out of all the companies that has ever existed, the church is the only one Jesus said he would build. Let's keep going. This thing, I'm glad they said that. That's good. That'll preach next time. "But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, 'Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard.'" This is right here in the middle of Jerusalem. People know the name of Jesus, and they absolutely refuse to stop talking about what they've done, what they've seen, and what God is going to continue to do in their lives. And we can fast forward 20 years. Because this is a crucial moment, and it's really good. But some people say, "Well, that's at the beginning, you know, when everybody was pumped up and speaking in tongues and all that kind of stuff. It was very wonderful." But what they don't realize is that 20 years later, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is in Athens, and he's just sightseeing, hanging out, waiting for some friends, and he gets in a conversation with some Greek philosophers, and he begins talking about the resurrection, and he tells them about some proof. Chapter 17, verse 31, the tail end of that verse, Paul says this: "He," referring to God, "has given proof of this, to all men by raising him from the dead. What's the big deal with Christianity? What's the big deal about faith? What's the big deal about putting your trust and hope in everything, surrendering your life to Jesus Christ? Because his disciples believed he was dead. And by seeing the resurrected Christ, all of a sudden, that ability to believe, that ability, that powerful force that we've been talking about this morning, all of a sudden has created a boldness. It's created some authority to move into Jerusalem, to move into the outer parts of the earth. If you do research on the disciples and see how far they went and how the gospel spread, it's an amazing story. That was a starting point for them. That was a starting point for the church. This morning, for those of you who are Christians, let me speak to you first. You've been doing the things that you've been taught to do. Again, maybe you're raised in church, you know the things to do. You have totally surrendered your life to Christ, and you're doing everything in your power to totally promote Him, to serve Him, to serve the church, whatever it is. You are doing it, and you're doing a phenomenal job. I'm going to ask you to step up a little more. I'm going to ask you to step up some more, because again, we see how our faith started. We see how this faith, this stuff they call Christianity, we see how the church started and why. And I'm going to ask you to step up this morning, because that was 2,000 years ago. That's over and done with. The disciples did what they did, and they started this thing, and we are here in 2018 in July to continue it. We are not here to pad these chairs. We are not here to be entertained by this music or by a speaker. We are here because God has put us here. He has put you in that job. He has put you in that position. You are retired for a reason. You are where you at because God has created you for this moment. And I need you to step up. I need you to step up and say, you know what? That was back then. This is 2018. I'm going to continue doing what I'm going to do because I believe that Jesus is alive. I believe that Jesus came to save my soul. I believe that Jesus is who He said He is, and He'll do what He said He will do. I'm going to ask you to step up wherever you're at this week, wherever you're at next month, wherever you are in your continued walk with Christ, in your continued faith journey, let's step up. Let's let people look at you, Mr. Christian, Mrs. Christian. Let's let people look at you and say, you know what? You look normal. You act normal, but there's something different about you. We're taking note. You kind of remind me of that guy, Jesus. You kind of act like Jesus. You kind of talk like Jesus. You kind of walk like Jesus. You give like Jesus did. Let's let other people, whether they're from another faith, whether they're totally separate from God, let them look at us differently and let them take note they have been with Jesus. For those of you who haven't exactly stepped up and started this belief in Jesus yet, let me talk to you for a second. Again, I understand that maybe you grew up in church. I understand that maybe you just kind of rejected your parents' faith, got out of there. I totally get that thing. I totally understand that. I sat through more sermons than you could ever imagine. And like I said, it wasn't something that just evolved into me. I had to make a decision one day. I had to make a decision, not as a child. I'm sure I went through some routine prayers. I'm sure I did that. At a VBS or something, I'm sure I did that, but I can tell you beyond a shadow of doubt, on Friday, July 13, 2007, I surrendered it all. That was my starting point. And can I tell you, for those of you who may not believe in Jesus Christ, today can be your starting point. Today can be that starting point where you say, you know what, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe He died for me. And if that's you this morning, I'm so pumped up you're here this morning because I want to pray with you. We've got some elders and elders' wives who are here that want to pray with you in our starting point room, pun intended. We want to pray with you. And I'm just going to be honest with you. Everything that has happened here this morning, everything from the volunteers, whether you met them in the parking lot or they're back here, everything that we do here at Crosswood is because we want you to believe in Jesus. Just being honest. I'm glad you're here. I love you. I appreciate you. But we want you to believe in Jesus. That's the whole point of everything we do. We want people who don't believe in Jesus to start believing in Jesus. So this morning, I'm going to ask you, if that's you, maybe you've been on the fence. Wonderful. Today can be your starting point. And I want to invite you to our starting point room in a moment when I pray and dismiss the service. I just want to pray with you. I'm not going to pray and say, see you later. I'm going to pray and talk about some ways that we can take our next steps. We're a church. We're a church family. We're going to help you get started and move and begin this starting point. Lastly, for those of you who absolutely pressed back against this faith, about this belief, and you're saying, today is not my day, I get that. I totally understand that, and I totally get it, right? Today's not the day. Great. Do me a favor. Come back next week. Don't do the church thing once and say, nope, not for me. Don't do the church thing every couple months. Nope, not for me. Do me a favor this week. Read the Bible a little bit. Not as somebody who might believe in Jesus Christ. Read the Bible to prove it wrong. Google Jesus a little bit. Do some research on your own. Let me pray. See what happens. Because I'm going to tell you, but in a moment when I dismiss the service, I'm about to pray all over you. I'm about to pray that God shows up in your life this week like he has never shown up in your life. And when I pray that, I want everybody here as Crossman owners, as Christians, to pray the same thing. Because I believe that as a church, if we would go out and show the love of Christ to people who are here that have pushed back into faith, maybe they'll be back next week and start their own starting point. Maybe they'll begin their faith journey next week. So again, if you're that person that's pushing back, great. Appreciate it. I'm so glad you're here. Today's not your starting point. But do me a favor and come back next week. We're going to finish this series next week, and it's going to be the finale. And I promise you, you're not going to want to miss it. And I hope and pray that you'll be back next week. Because today may not be that starting point. And I'm totally cool with that. But you never know what next Sunday might hold. Can you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word and everything that you have done this morning. From the beginning to the end of your service, God, I just pray that all of this is no gimmicks. It's nothing that we try to entertain, God. It's all about you. And Lord, I pray this morning that somebody has heard your word that wants to start their faith this morning. They want to put their beliefs in you, God. They want to accept you. Lord, for the Christians in the room, which is probably the majority of folks here, including myself, God, I pray that we would go out this week into our jobs, into our schools, wherever we're at. Lord, I just pray that we would transform that workplace. That restaurant, that store, wherever we are, God, I pray that God, you would show up and show out in our lives, that we would be able to show other people the love that you have shown us. That God, that people would look at us, and they would look at us and they know that we're normal, and they know that we're ordinary, just regular people, but God, there's something different. And it's because you have transformed our lives. And Lord, for the people who have pushed back against you like I did for so many years, and Lord, today's not their starting point. God, I pray you invade their lives like you have never invaded anyone's lives. Lord, I pray that you would show up from the time they get up from this seat until the time they sit back down next week. Lord, that your grace and your love and your mercy would just absolutely surround them in a powerful way, Lord, that by next Sunday they just cannot wait for someone to ask them to believe in Jesus, because they're going to meet us back there in that starting point and they're going to do an incredible work for you, because God, you love them. And there's no secret to that. We're not playing gimmicks here, God. You love us and you want us into a relationship with you, and God, you did that by your Son. And Lord, I pray that whether it's today or next week, God, we would step up into a relationship with you. We would step out into our lives throughout the week, God, and we would show people you. I pray this all in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. You guys have a great week.